Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 55, On the Way Again, number 7. Today is Friday, July 11th, 2008. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Today's message runs about 60 minutes. It was originally recorded January 13th, 1985. It's full of inspiration. You're going to find the scriptures to the message at the blog, and that's Pastor Paul's blog, and that's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. You can leave me a comment, a question, or a suggestion at the blog, and you can subscribe to the podcast at the blog. Again, that's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. If you'd like to call the comment line, that number is 1-715-808-0318, or you can leave me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. We're doing a series of messages on the way again. This is number 7. If you've missed the others, you can go to the archives, which are at the blog, and check it out. Just listen to those. A lot of inspiration, and we're going to get right into the message. Be sure to come back here next Friday for episode number 56. That will be On the Way Again, number 8. So God bless you and have a great week.
On the Way Again, number 7. We've been ministering on the way, Jesus Christ, and then not the ways, life, and then Jesus Christ, and death. The natural way, Jesus Christ, and the unnatural way, the world. While they live in and put on the bar, this is the world, and they put on drugs. And the other night I was at the White Castle. And I think it was about, it was after services on a Friday night, and it got a little late because it went over to help with a car. I thought, I'm going to go in and get a little bag of those and go home because everything else was closed. And I got inside and I really got a picture. I hadn't been out in the world for so long in that situation, 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody in there was bombed. Old ladies were in there swearing and cussing and using four-letter words. And man, it was like the pit. You know what I'm saying? And the guys were fighting and get out of the way. And these people behind the counter that were taking all this guff and all this garbage off of these guys for a 36 or 28 cent hamburger. And I said, if I was behind that counter, I was thinking, I would say, hey, it's bad enough smelling these babies all night, now just move on down the line. I'm going to take a lot of guff off you for 28 cents. See, and give them a clear word. Are you hearing this? And they thought they were natural in there. See, they were natural. I was unnatural. I was sober and I just come in, wanted to mind my own business, get what I was going to get, and get out of there. Everybody was in a cesspool of swearing and cussing and so on. I thought, hey, that was me not too long ago. Now, when I look back on it, I think, how did I ever get into such a thing as that? While I was in the world. Then they put on jail and they put on the mental institutions, the world does. They call that natural. And they're fearful, and they call that natural. And there was a whole lot of people holding their fists up. Get out of the way. I was here before you, and so on like that over these little hamburgers. And the frustration the world has. And finding so many people out there telling the boss what to do. And I thought, what a frustrating situation. Ulcerated bodies, demon-possessed bodies, no-talk marriages. Isn't it funny, after we make up, after we have a little spat, and we hear someone else having a spat, and then we look at each other and say, why are they fighting? Why can't they be like us? You know why? Because now we're natural, and we're normal in the Lord, and we've made up, and we're on the way, the natural, the real natural way. And we look over and we kind of smile at each other and we say, why can't people get along like we do? And that's the time when you're going to fall and you're going to have your argument again. But you ever notice that after we correct ourselves? We just get so kind and pleasant and praise the Lord. And well, listen, let us tell you how God got us together. You don't have to fight and like this. Isn't that awful how people fight, huh? How many are hearing this? Instead of giving advice and telling them and confessing that you were the same way and have them problems, we say, well, look at us as an example. But all those I hate you attitudes and things and things and more things, that's the world. Do it to others before they do it to you. That's the world. They call that natural. Dog eat dog. Then the depression, they call that natural. There's a whole lot of people with a whole lot of money and a whole lot of people with no money. And they call that natural. This is not the way. They need to put on Jesus Christ, the way. More and more it's becoming evident that there is only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a way, it says, that seemeth right unto man, but the end therein is death. The way isn't just something we read, it's something we wear. It's something that we live, it's something that's written in us. And what we then do, what's written in us, we live. We feel good, like I said a few weeks ago, by doing good. You want to feel good? Then do good. You want to feel nothing? Don't do anything then. You'll feel nothing. Maybe you have a marriage and you don't feel like it's going anywhere. It's nothing. It's because you aren't doing anything. Or maybe you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe you're helping someone else to stumble. The Bible says we are the walking, talking epistles, read and known of all men. Now, we have people working down here, Janine and Dick and Dolores and George and Arlene. Do you feel good? You better believe you feel good. You know why you feel good? Because you are doing good. You know when you're right on is when you're right on with God. When we receive the way, and I'm talking to you on the radio now, maybe some in here that aren't saved. When you receive the way, when you get saved, God then writes his laws on your hearts and in your minds. Whatsoever it says in the Bible, thy hand find it to do, do it with all thy might. See, because I believe that the hand is a tool of the heart. Say amen. It's the plow holder, and it's the seed thrower, and it's the harvest. Whatever that's in your heart, your hands are going to get at it. They're the extensions of the heart. They're the doing. I seen a little presentation from the University of Minnesota on Channel 2, and it showed these pitiful little birds. It says, they have no predators out there, and so they've lost their wings. And it showed, they looked really funny. They had no wings at all. There was a couple of little stubs out here. And they were walking along. They weren't as scared of anything. There was nothing to be scared of. There was nothing to make, get them going. And I thought, I would like to rather have a little pressure so that my legs work good and my arms work good. And my head is working good. Because there has to be a challenge. Or you lose your wings. Or you lose your walk. Or you lose your excitement. If your challenge is pleasing yourself, you'll never be pleased. It'll be most boring. And you'll die in a living room with the shades pulled down and no one coming to see you because you're meaner than hell itself. How many heard that? I believe that. I believe there's a whole lot of psychos sitting around that just want to please themselves and the selfishness. And I know because I was that way myself. Ended up psycho. But the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. Out of thy heart are the issues of life. Out of your heart comes a story. Are you hearing this? We are all making book. I'm not talking about gambling. We're all making book right now. Oh, how in that day when they open up the book, your book that you've written, walking, talking epistles, known and read of all men, and they open it up and all the pages are blank? Well, let's see. What a nice cover. All gold and black trim and a ribbon in it. Wow, this must be an exciting book. And they open it up, and it's blank. And they wet their fingers and they go through the whole thing. You know why you can do that? Because God doesn't keep track of your sins, so your sins won't be in there. There'll not be one sin in that book of life that you've written. But all the things that you did good will be in there. Now, isn't that sort of a judgment against us when they open it up and there's nothing good that you've done? I think that's going to be a pretty heavy judgment. You're going to be judged in accordance to the way that you love people and the way that you serve God's people. And the attitude you had, and if your attitude isn't right and you're honest about your attitude and know that your attitude isn't right, God won't judge you on it. So it is possible to walk around with a wrong attitude, knowing that you have that attitude, allow God to improve you in that, and still make good book. But how about it when he opens a book up and there's nothing in there? He won't put your sin in there, all your complaints and all your arguing, all your fighting, it won't be in there. Jesus Christ's blood has washed away all your sins. But the good things that you did will be in there. Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was in a prison? Where were you when I was a widowed? Well, we didn't know that. Well, it's very evident there's nothing in the book here. What have you been doing? Huh? Where have you been? What are you doing? Well, I don't know. I've always been mind my own business. I never bother anybody. I didn't ask you that. You're supposed to be carrying your brother's burdens. Now let's take a rerun movie on it. Run that back. Click, click. And the rerun movie starts. None of the sins are in there. None of the arguments are in there. None of the backbiting is in there. None of those things are in there. But then it shows the sign and the film comes on and this so and the lion comes out and the whole works there and it says the life of Paul or the life of Barb or the life of Pete. And it's just like when you see those things, 4, 3, 2, 1, bleep, bleep, and a bunch of little dots and lines through the screen and everything. And you sit there for 2 hours, and it says the end. Oh my, I think there's a whole lot of wasting time in large groups. Praising the Lord for things that he's done for them. That's fine, but there's got to be more. There's got to be a work going out. So we see we must love what we do. Because what we love, we do. Some people love to argue, and so that's all they do all day long is argue. Some people love to feel blue. And some people like to be in moods. That's what they love to do, and so that's what they do. You can depend on it. They are faithful to work for the devil in their moods and all of their arguments and all of their sluggardisms. And that isn't held in account against you. God's blood has washed it away. But you end up being a blank, empty. See, first we must have the heart, the love set right on things, set on the way. And then we can do things with all of our might. Now we're getting calls for these way tapes. We want all six or all whatever we're going to have here in this series. You know why I believe it is? It's because people are finding out that after all, it is the truth. You want to feel good? It's a very simple message, actually. It's very simple. If you want to feel good, do good. You want to feel bad, then do bad. But anyway, that would put an end to going and doing the not the way, the hating and the wars and the perversions. Not the way will issue forth, the Bible says, death. What we love to do. If you love Jesus, you listening on the radio and to this tape right now, your hands will find a whole lot of beautiful things to do. But on the other hand, if you love yourself and the world, you will be miserable. I'm going to tell you the hardest taskmaster there is, self. Did you know that? And even the world, sometimes the wisdom of the world gets, well, actually it's God's wisdom and he lets him have it. Sometimes it astounds me. The things that they say that line up with the Word of God. Are you hearing this? Self is a hard taskmaster. If you're going to go after yourself and please yourself, you'll never please yourself. You can't. The word says and the song says, forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Why? A person that's introverted and into themselves, not only are they boring to themselves, they are boring to others. Say amen, somebody. Ooh. See, the world is coming to a close because they've tried every other way that there is, and there is no other way but the way. Now every country is ready for a showdown. Now, Friday night I ministered, I said, I seen on TV where they have this Star Wars thing, and it's a great big tube up there, and it showed these bombs coming up over the horizon, and as they came, this thing sought them out, pew, 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 and it was knocking them out all over. And I says, you know what's going to happen? That thing is going to go haywire, and it's going to tilt forward and go forward like that. And I says, who's to say that couldn't happen? Last night on the news, something happened over in West Germany. Some kind of an accident. Are you hearing this? But every country now is ready for a showdown. But all their not the ways have only led them to the way. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are in the most exciting, we are in the most beautiful, we are in the most rewarding, we are in the most thrilling, we are in the most revealing times for the way seekers. Are you hearing this? And please don't interrupt. Are you hearing this? We are in the most beautiful, exciting, rewarding, thrilling, revealing times for the way seekers. You know why that is? Because we're receiving more light. And the not the ways are being revealed. Are you hearing this? How many hearing it? Don't get caught up in your own thing. Right now, there is so much light that if we, for a moment, allow one little darkness to enter into us during this great illumination of the Lord, during this very revealing time, if we allow one little darkness to come in, it'll spoil the whole light. It'll take over, and you'll be walking in darkness. And how dark is that darkness after that you receive the light? How dark is that darkness? Don't do it. Don't receive any of it. There's a revealing going on right now. Have yourself open to the revealing. Don't be fooled again. Because there is a revealing now, and the world is seeing their way does not work, and they're seeking out the church. And the trick of Satan is to get these different ministries arguing amongst one another. Then they walk in darkness. I tell you right now, God is revealing himself to all those that will get out of themselves. Now, I said self will darken you. It will darken your understanding. And you will become, in the end, a mental. the doctors and the lawyers and the governments and the science people right now and the philosophers and the sociology and the religious people. They're going to all end up in Grand Central Station. I call that the Book of Revelation Station. All the trains are ending up right there. The Book of Revelation. Whew. Say amen, somebody. Everyone is ending up right there holding used up tickets. Where do we go from here? Even they're not the ways led to the way. All roads lead to God. You go to hell, you'll find God there. There's no place you can go that God isn't. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. You can't hide from him. Say amen, somebody. Oh, there's no one. And they'll end up there holding their little tickets. Where do we go from here? And we have the light. What are you going to do with your light? Hide it under a bushel basket? Crawl under some woodwork someplace like some kind of a termite? No, let's don't do that. I'm thanking God right now for this church and the dedication of this church right now. My God. I tell you, God is going to cause all the dead wood to just sort of float out. And it doesn't matter what the excuse is. My God, let it float out. You hearing that, pastors? Allow all the dead driftwood, drifters, to float out. If they don't want to get involved, then don't get involved. If you don't want to feed the poor, then don't do it. But don't complain about those that are doing it. Because the Christian way has been the way all the way along, hasn't it? Universe is moving by it. Hasn't it been faithful? Has not God's way been faithful? Are we not now on this planet that's been there going around for this many, many, many years? Eons of time, let's say, and all the universe, has he not been faithful? I believe everything else is unchristian and will become undone and unglued. I said Friday night, how many in here have become unglued in their lives? My God, I have. I'm talking about totally unglued. Did you ever become unglued? And you weren't on the way. And there's a lot of Christians that are becoming unglued. You know why it is? They're not on the way. They're into showing how much knowledge they have. And they'll take the word and then this word over here. And they all have the word, but they try to outdo each other. And you know what happens? They become unglued, and there's a whole lot of works that are going to become unglued. They're not a God. They sound good, but they're out of the Word and so on like that, but they don't have the right attitude. There's no good works involved. There's nothing involved, so each one tries to build a little bigger thing out of the Word for themselves. And I want to tell you, if you want to see a bunch of unglued people, you're looking at them right now in the Christian community worldwide. You know why that is? As I said it Friday night, I'll say it again. It's like a lot of furniture that's in a house and there's no moisture in that house. It's dried up. Dried up. Say amen. So I'm trying to outdo it. Oh, but the Word says this and the Word says that. And the world is going to hell while they're busy arguing what the Word says. How many are hearing this? Well, why not just do the Word and prove the Word and get out and do it? Now, doesn't that make sense, isn't it? Well, Brother Paul, you don't have the revelation yet, you see. Well, praise God for you anyway. We all appreciate you. You're a goer and a doer. See, you spin your wheels. You know, I mean, see, actually, what you have to do is just sit down and claim. Lay down on your back and just claim things, see, and it'll come to pass. But you don't know that yet. You haven't got that revelation yet. Well, praise God for you anyway. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of nutsy people out there. You listening on the radio? It's nuts. Talk about all those things, but you have one thing lacking. Love. Reality. Oh, I said it, and I'm glad. But you can take two ways today. You can go down the way that's not the way road, and that's a dead end always. Or you can go down the way road and run into the way, Jesus Christ, always. I believe to not go the way is insane. And then when you, especially when you know the way and don't go the way, isn't that crazy? See, the way must become personal to you. A personal way to you. The way must become personal. Jesus must become personal to you. You must love the way. You must share the way. You must use the way. You must live the way. The world is crying out right now, what's the way? They are. It says in the Bible, well, it will end up in an age of perplexity. That means where there's no way out, seemingly. But then it all says in the Word of God, says also in the Word of God that the Lord will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. We're out of oil, and we're out of food, and we're out of gas, and we're out of water, and we're out of air, and we're out of love, and the world is yelling, help! See, the way and not the way are headed for a showdown. Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. And right now, the demons of hell are forming on one side. You know what's forming on the other side? God's angels. You know that God's angels are directing a group of people over here, and the devils of hell are directing a group of people over here? And did you know that our warfare is spiritual, for the pulling down the strongholds of the devil? What you're feeling right now is a move and a forming of the last war. Whatsoever that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever that ye loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. My God, our war is a spiritual war, not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places, the Bible says. Whatsoever that we do down here in the natural, so-called natural, when we go ahead and do that, hallelujah, with all our heart, mind, and soul, there's a victory won above. But there's a battle going on between the Christians and the unchristians, and love and hate, religions and Jesus people. The rooster, I believe, is about to crow as the dead churches answer right now, answer in fear as they warm their hands over that fire of deception and peek over their porches of fear. They'll yell out, no, I said I am not one of them. And that's what they're going to say. They'll deny Jesus. And the rooster will crow. What a sound. I want to tell you something, people. The sun is coming up, and the rooster is about to proclaim the two sides, the two ways, the sheep and the goats, the real and the unreal, the talk-a-walk and the walk-a-walks, the mouths and then the hands, the proud and the humble. And oh, I got so blessed, people, and what can I do for Jesus, people? You know what I mean by that? Oh, I just got so blessed. I mean, there's people that are running all over and they're just getting blessed. And they have to get blessed every day. They're never a blessing. I got so blessed. I got so blessed. I got so blessed. I got so blessed. A blessed, blessed, blessed. A blessed, blessed, blessed. A blessed, 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 blessed. I got so blessed. And everybody's starving over here and the world is going to hell and they're running around. I got so blessed. I got so blessed. A blessed, blessed, blessed. Huh? Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I am so sick of it. Not as sickening when there's things to be done. Say amen, somebody. Well, don't you think we should be blessed? Yeah, be blessed by doing something. Be a blessing. Are you hearing this? Now, I know that they're right now listening to me, the claim and stand on the word, but never get involved ministries, and you're going to hear the rooster crow good and loud. There's going to be a showdown. Say amen, somebody. How many know what I'm saying here is the truth? Well, maybe you don't want to admit it, but it is the truth. And I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of so-called spiritual people that are psychos. Say it. Now you know it. Well, it's hard to admit. Well, that would be a negative confession. No, it would be the truth. Why is it that the truth is always negative? No, the truth is positive. What we are seeing today are a whole lot of psychos that need the physician. There needs to be a healing in the body of Christ. Say amen, somebody. First in our own personal life, and then we need to deal with the body. First deal in your home, and then in the church, and then go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. Okay? And that's by a simple confession that everything you're doing isn't 100% correct. There are cycles out there. There are people that really don't believe Jesus, or they would be in church. And they would be dedicated to the cause of Christ. They are believers that are believing just a little bit. Say amen. If you really believe in something, don't you get involved in it. When you got your little kids, don't you get involved in them little kids? You're so involved in their lives. Involved in your jobs and involved in the things that we love and the things that are in our hearts. Say amen, somebody. Boy, somebody's got to do it. Someone's got to say, stop! Enough is enough. Stop running off to Timbuktu to get spiritual and get spiritual right where you're at. I know I'm going to get a lot of letters on that. That's all right. You can always tell a letter when you get it about this fat. Don't send me any letters. You know why? I burn them. They're about that fat. You touch them and they're just foul. I can tell, can't I, Jan? I says, Jan, don't open that. It's a foul letter. And it never has an address on it. And you get that great big old fat packet. And I take it over and I put it to good use. I burn it. But we're about to find out how personal Jesus is to people when Gideon's army is formed, when Elijah's Mount Carmel decisions come, when they're put under real pressure. How many are hearing this? And see, that's why I say it's so exciting. So exciting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we speak with tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Not a thing. You can do all them things, but if you don't have love, you haven't got a thing. You see, our way, the way is guaranteed. It's personal. It's something that we can love. I can accept that science is true, but I can't pray to it. Can you pray to in the name of H2O and get anything out of it? No. No, those are all the wrong ways. That's like a man going into the doctor's office with his leg cut off, isn't satisfied. Well, sit here in the waiting room and read this book on how to get a hold of yourself. No, he wants a physician. He wants personal attention. The world is right now like a child. It's crying out for a mother and a father, a savior. And it won't be satisfied if it's offered a principle instead of a person. So many times you'll see people not offer Jesus, they'll offer principles. Now, if these are the ways to succeed. And even the world picks it up, and people go by the dozens. They have like $300 or $400 they'll pay. How to succeed? And you know where they got it? From the Christian. How to be a successful Christian? 7 easy ways. There's no love in it. Now, I know people will find fault with this, but you listen, and you just examine, you pray to God, and God is going to tell you that this is the truth. Oh, this is the truth. Are you hearing this? Seven easy ways to become a Christian. Seven easy ways to, the keys to success. The keys to prosperity. Jesus says, I am the way, the word become flesh, the path become a person. The maker of the universe is saying, come. I came that you might have life. I say, come. I got a personal thing with you. I want to come on the inside. Is that personal enough? Call upon my name in the time of trouble and I will answer. My guarantee will stand. Look at the universe going around. It'll stand. Revelation 21 and 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among you, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear. Glory to God, we're coming to that time. Every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these things are faithful and true. What a time we're in right now. Here is his voice. So the way is a person with principles. First, you have to seek Jesus, the man with principle. Nextly, you have to go after those things and follow Jesus. We're not under the law written in cold black ink. We're under love guaranteed by the blood. Our Savior is a personal Lord. He's a character. A person. And as we study the characteristics of this most wonderful, beautiful, personal Savior person, we take on, the Bible says, his character. We don't have to straight face it anymore. We don't have to become religious. We don't have to put on an act. We just flow and grow and know. We just are. You don't have to force a smile, a laugh, or you don't have to force our joy or our love or our peace. We're full of it. We don't have to sing to make us happy. We sing because we're full of song. You ever seen a person that's full of song? They're just full of it. They're just singing and they're full of song. When people ask, oh, what are you so happy about? You know what they'll say? Oh, I don't know. I'm just singing. Just spontaneous. It just comes out. Sort of like that musicals we talked about, where they don't really say anything, they just sing. And they have on the flowing dresses and they sing everything. Wouldn't that be nice if we sang everything and meant it? Huh? How many are hearing this? Wouldn't that be nice if we sang everything and we meant it? Okay, now, let's have no more action. Lock the doors and bolt all the windows and let's get into what the Lord is telling us here today. Don't nobody else jump out of here now, okay? Wouldn't that be nice? The world even tries it. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, la da 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 da, with all them happy faces. Good morning to you, don't they? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Well, some people couldn't take it. They'd say, oh, shut up. Here comes that good morning singer again. You couldn't take it because you know why? It would seem unnatural to them. But if they would try it, they'd find out that's a natural thing. And they'd sing back, and good morning to you, good morning to you, la da 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 da, huh? And maybe they would just cause a whole symphony of people to be singing, good morning to you. Of course, that wouldn't be natural, would it? You have to find something wrong with it. But you know, if we'd try it, it would work. Might crack your face for a week, but it'd work. I know it'd crack mine. But I don't wake up with that song in my heart, good morning to you. Oh, fooey to you, oh, fooey to you, huh? Don't we wake up that way? Don't we? We hate to see people walk. Stop walking around, huh? But we take on his character, don't you see? The world's going to let off steam and hot air, but we let off a song. The Bible says we're full of laughing waters. We're not following after a law. We're following after character with principle. Are you hearing this today? A character, Jesus Christ, with principles for us to follow. We can be good today. It's a choice you make. It's a choice you make. You say, Jesus, on my own, I can do nothing without you. Jesus said it. You can do nothing without me. Have you tried to do something without Jesus? It doesn't work. It's so phony, it's got a stink to it. Did you ever get yourself when you're feeling good and phony? It's not the way. I have. You try to put on Pastor Paul. Doesn't work. You can do nothing without Jesus. Nothing. Did you ever try to put on an Arlene? Huh? Doesn't work, does it, honey? Doesn't work. And I'm just using you because you're here. Did you ever try to put on? Try to act like everything was coming up roses and you hadn't prayed yet? You come up onions, didn't you? Oh, see, we can be good today and we can be better tomorrow because we follow the very best. It works. And I know all you folks in here are getting better because you're following the best. You're following the man with a principle instead of having principles and guidelines. 14 ways to prosperity. A tape album that will be worth every bit of the money, $300 for 12 of these precious tapes. You got to be some kind of a dummy when you can just go to the Lord and ask. That's not the way, let me tell you. Say amen, somebody. You know how you learn? By watching other people. That's how you learn. Not by 14 easy, by good examples. Follow good examples. Romans 8 and 19 says like this. For the anxious longing of creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to the corruption into freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Friends, there is a groaning within each spirit-filled Christian for the return of the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. There is a revealing right now. If you'll receive that light, there'll be more liberty in your life than you've ever had simply by following after Jesus Christ right now. Not by a revelation from a person, not by a revelation from a book, but by the revelation from the Word of God. And God says, when you see these things, look up, for my your redemption draweth nigh. The redemption right now of God's people is drawing nigh. Look up. Look up. God's right now is forming a Gideon's army, and things are about to happen. Glory to God. And there's people excited about those things that are going to happen because Jesus is our transformer. He is our power. They put these things up here on this pole out here. I was thinking to myself, my God, that's power out there. That's giving more power to this house. In fact, it was so much power in this area that it had to cost several thousand dollars to bring it down here because there's not such power in the whole of the area. Think of that. It took almost 6 months to get the power that we have out there in a pole. We're just tapping a little tenth of it right now. I believe that showed me something. God is our transformer. High-powered wires are going right to your house, your mobile temple right now. They're waiting to be switched on. He wires you for sound, and he wires you for light, and he wires you for heat, and he wires you for long-distance phone calls. We have the power. We have the power over the devil. We have high voltage. When his darkness comes, we just screw in another fuse, or we flip another switch. Oh, it's almost like, say, beware the devil. Beware, devil. Don't touch us or you'll burn your pants off. Are you hearing it? Mark 2:11, Jesus says to the Pharisees, to let you see that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. To let you see. The key to the whole meaning of Jesus. In him we hear, and in him we also see. In him I see in love and peace and joy. In him I see God. Seeing, people say, is believing, and believing is doing, and doing is becoming. Are you hearing this message today? How many are hearing it? Praise the Lord for you people here today. So the world can see Jesus in us. Did you know that the world is seeing Jesus in you right now? The more unnatural that the world becomes, and the more natural you become, which is, now you love to read the Word of God, now you love to do the things of God, now you love to praise God, the more light you're going to reveal. And the more light that you walk in, the more you're going to see that their way is not the way, and the more they're going to see that their way is not the way. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3 says, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Well, I believe, I thought to myself, well, many churches, and I corrected, and I said, I should say buildings are afraid to overpraise. There's a whole lot of them. But really, I thought, how can you overpraise? And then I thought, well, that wouldn't be fair. How can you praise something you don't have? See, if Jesus isn't in that church, how can you praise him? A lot of people praising testimonies. And they'll get up with a zillion testimonies. And that's all right. But I thought, how can they praise something they don't have? That'd be like us being able to see a Cadillac out sitting out here. And we're saying, wow, look at that Cadillac! And these other people couldn't see it. And it's the same way when you're praising Jesus and other people are not walking in the way and not walking in Jesus. They'll say, well, what are they praising? What's there to praise? And then they'll praise the choir robes maybe. And they'll get up, well, that's all right too. But they don't give Jesus the credit. I suppose you've all noticed, and through our great big bazaar, that we were able to buy all these choir robes. Let's praise him. How long can you praise a choir robe? People do. Or the carpeting! Or the preacher! The high priest and the scribes turned. They saw Jesus and they turned green. And when the children shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they could not see Jesus. They could not see. All they could see was, "Woo!" They said, "Do you hear what they are saying?" When you start to praise the Lord, when you start to praise the Lord, and you're praising the Lord, people are going to say, "Do you hear what they are saying?" How many are hearing this? And Jesus said, "And have you never read, 'Thou hast brought praise to perfection from the mouths of babes and sucklings,'" in Matthew 21, 15 and 16? Perfect are made the praises by babes and sucklings. Little baby, when he starts gurgling and gurgling like that, and baby talk, is actually praying in tongues to the Lord, making communication and making perfect praises to the Lord. Says here that praise was brought to perfection when it praised Jesus. You can't perfect praising when you're praising a man or praising a car or praising your business or praising your house. Whatever you say about the Lord is an understatement, so you can go on praising and elevating. I think we have to get into a higher form of praise. High praises. He's getting bigger and better all the time. My words cannot describe what I feel now for the Lord. And I hope tomorrow it changes so that's even a higher thing that I'll never attain. Remember, Jesus was the one child who gave God a good reputation. Made him reality. God a reality. God come to earth. Because all Christ's ways have become the way. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ today. Matthew 11 and 6 says, "And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says, "The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes." How many are hearing it today? Can we overpraise? Well, let me close this message today. Jesus didn't preach law. He just told people secrets. Has Jesus told you a secret lately? I was getting ready today. I forget what I was doing. I'm just getting ready. None of your business. Anyway, I was just getting ready, and I was seeking the Lord about today. And he gave me a word. You know what the word was? It says, just go on the way you're going. Go the way you're going. A little secret. Oh, it's a secret. You shouldn't have told it. What I tell you, shout it from the housetops. What I tell you in the inner ear, shout it from the housetops. Just go on with what you're doing. That which concerneth you, I will perfect, the Bible says. Just go on. Isn't that a word of encouragement? Don't weary in doing well. My hope, I pray, I know that we can be an example, and pretty soon people are going to pick up on the good works and they're going to have they're going to be showing other, well, that sounds reasonable. Now I can go with that, and they'll start showing people good works. And who cares? I mean, hey, let everybody get into this. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, God, let us help us. Help us to be an example. And it says in Mark 1 and 27, they were all so amazed that they discussed it together, saying, whatever is this? It's a new teaching with authority behind it. Wind, be still. There he goes. He's walking on the water and the leopards are healed. The blind man stumbles over to the pool and washes his eyes and says, men look like trees walking. And they question him and say, whoever told you that you could see? Well, I don't know about all these things you're asking me. All I know is I was blind, all right, dummy, and now I see. And if you'll excuse me, these tall hats that you're wearing, just don't show me too much. Excuse me. Those were probably the trees, these priests with those great big high hats walking around. Say amen, somebody. Lazarus, come forth! Oh. Someone with authority. And Lazarus gives up. He said, don't call him up. They were just weeping their eyes off for Lazarus. He's dead. But when Lazarus might raise a stink, then they didn't want him around. Oh, don't call him out, he stinks. Don't raise a stink. That's what I'm saying. I hope I'm raising a stink today. Bringing a whole bunch of sleeping dead Christians and having them to raise up. Stretch forth your hand, Jesus said. And they're all sitting around. You won't dare heal. It's Sunday. This guy's sitting there with his hand all crippled up. He knew what the law said too, so he said, oh, he was thinking to himself, oh, I hope he doesn't ask me to do that, but it sure would be nice, but I hope he doesn't ask me, because I wonder what they'll think. So he had to be real sound with him, and he looked right at the man, and he said, stretch out your hand, don't worry about these guys. He's going, oh, okay. And I bet their backbones stretched out too, huh? See, it was authority speaking, God. Now, woman hiding with the issue of blood. And she's hiding over here, see? Come on over here. And all of the sons and daughters are sick of her because she'd used up all the cash going to this doctor and this physician and that physician. And then she smelled, and oh, she was just a mess. Why don't she just die? And she went and sought life. What authority he had. And when Jesus spoke, God spoke. And when the truth spoke, Jesus spoke. When love spoke, Jesus spoke. And when reality speaks, Jesus speaks. Know how we need to get into reality. See, all was handed over to Jesus by the Father. Our Father, Jesus, is the way. The way is the way for me to act. And how am I acting? The way is the way for me to feel. The way is the way for me to be. In every circumstance, I can be rejoicing. If I just remember that. I don't have lapses of memory. Oh, I had so many lapses of memory last week, I don't believe it. Where I would forget, you know, you forget for a few minutes who you are in Jesus Christ, and you start to go into, you have lapses of memory, and you actually think you're something in yourself, and that, you know, the whole world revolves around your stinking problems. It doesn't. If the world revolved around your problems, it would just fall somewhere. It wouldn't revolve. Okay, three more pieces of scripture here. Ephesians 1 and 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of his will. People are always seeking the will of God. You know, for their own personal thing. He made known to us the mystery of his, capital H, his will. According to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things, in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth, in him. Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, like never before, we're going to have to seek the will of the Lord. And there's going to be some suffering involved. And don't get all melancholy and all mushy. And you know why you've been suffering so much and so miserable in your suffering? Because you've been waiting for something to come to you. And you got to come to Jesus. And you have to ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? Here I am, send me. And just don't fall out every time one of your claims falls flat. It wasn't the will of God, you understand? So many times we're so selfish and egotistical and set things up for ourselves, and then we say, Lord, I claim it and I stand on it. What are you standing on? A selfish prayer? Don't stand on something like that. That is a dunghill. You're standing on a stink. Huh? Oh, why don't you stand on a stink? Huh? Yeah. How many know that a lot of times we stand on stink? No, I do. And here's the last word here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Someone sitting here doesn't have Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. John came with a word. John came with a letter. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him, the creator of all things. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You listening out here, if you're not born again, Jesus right now is calling on to you. There is no life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is about to see the great light return. It's right around the corner. The world is about ready to meet the way, Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And I hear someone saying right now, well, I hear him saying all the time, I would come to church, but they're so full of hypocrites. No, it's not quite full yet. You're not here. Oh, I'd come to church, but the church is so full of hypocrites, you know. No, it's not quite full. You're not here. And then you say, well, I've become a Christian, but there's so many hypocrites in the church. There'll be few hypocrites in heaven. I'll tell you that, if they ever do get there. There'll be no hypocrites, I should say, in the next world. And if you don't want to be associated with hypocrites in the next world, then you better accept Jesus Christ right now. Hypocrites are everywhere. How many was a hypocrite last week? Oh, yeah, I was a hypocrite a couple times. My God, I was a hypocrite. Huh? Weren't a hypocrite? I was. How many were a hypocrite? Okay, 8 days ago or nine, maybe last month. See, some in here, they were all, let's see, last week I was never a hypocrite. Okay, how many were a hypocrite sometime this year? Well, we're only a few days into this year. See, now you gave yourself away. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. My God. And everybody can raise their hands, but I'll just turn around everybody and look at everybody and say, how many were a hypocrite sometime during this month? Just turn around and look at everybody. You know why they call them hippos? They're big. But anyway, you people listening, I don't want to come to church on account of all the people in the church are hypocrites. There was one hypocrite that didn't make it to heaven. He lost his guts and hung himself. You'll find a lot of hypocrites in the church. But did you come to see the hypocrites or did you come to see Jesus? Who'd you come to see, the hypocrites or did you come to see Jesus? So what you come to see is Jesus. And sometimes when we come to see Jesus, we see a little bit of ourselves. We don't like it. But when we see that little bit of ourself and we give that little bit of ourself up, we can receive more of Jesus. See, if your house is crowded with yourself, there's no vacancy signs on there. Rooms are all full. Come later. Call before you come, all right? And please don't come after 1 o'clock in the morning. Want to change that sign? Want to fill up on Jesus? Then confess your faults one another. You may be healed. Yes, I was a hypocrite last week, but God helped me to change. Yes, I didn't do everything right. Yes, I was unforgiving. Yes, I was cantankerous. Yes, I caused somebody else to stumble. Yes, 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 down the line. Some way, something. But yes, my mind wasn't right. Yes, I was argumentative. Yes, I didn't want to come under authority. Yes, 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 Lord, help me. And then you come to the scripture that says, Jesus said it, ye can do nothing without me. And boy, is that ever the truth. You cannot do one single thing without Jesus Christ. Nothing. Because the Bible says, it is no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. Wow. If we can just remember those things. And you know, I'm feeling kind of good because a few of those things, I recognize them now. Before they even happened. But then I said, love to go into them. So I go for 30 seconds and then 90 seconds in a minute, 5 minutes sometime. The more you stay in it, the more that your darkness comes, and the more darkness it comes, it takes over the light, and the less you can see Jesus, and the more you see of yourself. That's the message for today. I hope that it got across. And you know, we're in a time right now that's so exciting. We got so many beautiful things. Okay, is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody?